sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. I'm Mark Crutcher, and I'm here with my comical sidekick, Sarah Waits.
Hello, hey, everyone.
Hey, Sarah. Sarah, we're seeing this sham of a hearing going on. And, you know, people are calling it a circus, but it's not a circus. Circuses have a real legitimate purpose in the world. This thing doesn't.
Well, according to conservatives on Twitter, they're finding it really entertaining. I can't tell you how many pro Amy Coney Barrett things I've seen. They're really starting to love her.
I think she's gaining a lot more support.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard somebody the other day say, I never heard of Amy Coney Barrett before this, but now I see why Trump picked her, you know.
Yeah, yeah. There's one person who's like, anybody else out there falling in love with this woman?
Right. She is eating the lunch of these godless Democrats.
There's so many people who are showing around that image of her holding the blank notepad that has no notes on it.
Yeah, and then putting their own notes.
It's a mic drop moment right there.
Right.
I don't need any notes.
Anyway, we have some specifics about that we want to talk about, and we're going to get into a little discussion about Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade is going to become more important.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's overturned or not. And what I have found is that there is a tremendous amount of misinformation out there or misconceptions out there that people have about Roe versus Wade. Even in the pro-life movement, there's a lot of misconceptions about Roe versus Wade, and we're going to try to shed some light on a couple of those today.
But before we get to that, I think we should talk about what Amy Coney Barrett was saying in the hearings about Roe versus Wade, because of course that came up, especially in election year.
Yeah,
I mean, it was the hot topic. And let's go ahead and go to a discussion she had with Amy Klobuchar. I couldn't think of her name for a second.
Right.
But let's go to this conversation she had.
Is Roe a super precedent?
How would you define super precedent?
I thought someday I'd be sitting in that chair. I'm not. I'm up here, so I'm asking
okay,
you.
Okay, well, people use super precedent differently.
Okay.
The way that it's used in the scholarship and the way that I was using it in the article that you're reading from was to define cases that are so well settled that no political actors and no people seriously push for their overruling. And I'm answering a lot of questions about Roe, which I think indicates that Roe doesn't fall in that category. And scholars across the spectrum say that doesn't mean that Roe should be overruled, but descriptively it does mean that it's not a case that everyone has accepted and doesn't call for its overruling.
Here's what's interesting to me. You said that Brown is, and I know my time is running out, is a super precedent. That's something the Supreme Court has not even said, but you have said that. So if you say that, why won't you say that about Roe v. Wade, a case that the court's controlling opinion in that Planned Parenthood v. Casey case has described as a super precedent? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, Senator, I can just give you the same answer that I just did. I'm using a term in that article that is from the scholarly literature. It's actually one that was developed by scholars who are, you know, certainly not conservative scholars, who take a more progressive approach to the Constitution. And again, you know, as Richard Fallon from Harvard said, Roe is not a super precedent because calls for its overruling have never ceased, but that doesn't mean that Roe should be overruled. It just means that it doesn't fall on the small handful of cases like Marbury versus Madison and Brown versus the board that no one questions anymore.
Is United States for Virginia military, is that super precedent?
Senator Klobuchar, if you continue to ask questions about super precedents that aren't on the list of the super precedents that I discussed in the article that are well acknowledged in the constitutional law literature, every time you ask the question, I will have to say that I can't grade it.
Klobuchar just doesn't get it.
Yeah, she does. She does. She's evil, but she's not that big an idiot.
I like to point out this little moment, almost hissy fit moment she had in the beginning. Like, I thought I was going to be up there, but I'm not.
Right, and you are.
And you are.
Right. Yeah, the gall of saying something like that.
Well, let's put aside the fact that this is their big day and their celebration, but this is a very serious moment. And she pauses all that to be like, right. Well, I thought I would be up there.
Right.
Right. time and place.
I thought you would ask me to the prom.
I thought she was going to pull out a wine glass and a bottle of wine and just start pouring, you know.
I guess that's the Hillary Clinton phenomenon. Well, I thought I'd be president, you know.
Well.
Yeah, oh, you thought wrong. Anyway, this is typical of what's going on in this hearing.
Mm-hmm.
They'll ask her a question. She answers it.
They don't like the answer.
So they'll change the question just a little bit and ask it again.
Mm-hmm. And she gives the same answer. And she's like, I just answered your question.
I don't know what else to say to you. You have my answer. And she has been a paragon
of patience. Oh, yeah.
Putting up with these.
Well, when you have seven kids, you got to be.
Well, yeah. But to put up with these blithering, godless degenerates from the Democratic Party. I couldn't do it. I mean, I'd leap across the table and grab somebody. But
they'd have to start bleeping out your words.
And you know, oh yeah, oh yeah. But you know, another place that I found just very revealing about the nature of people in the Democrat Party and what it's devolved into is when this woman from Hawaii asked her if she had ever raped anybody or sexually assaulted anybody.
Not in the face of any evidence or allegations. No, this is just a random, out of the blue. By the way,
Have
you ever raped anybody?
If she had come back and said, have you ever sexually assaulted anybody?
Mm-hmm.
And she said no. And then this woman from Hawaii comes back and says, well, I have somebody here who claims that you did sexually assault somebody. That would be one thing. But just to randomly ask this question out of nowhere. And let me ask this, even among the godless left and these Democrats, can you really look at Amy Coney Barrett and say, this woman appears to me to be a sexual predator? There's something about her that makes me think that she's some sort of sexual deviant or sexual predator.
Well, I mean, you don't have a good barometer for that. I mean, they're across professions and everything else. But
you got to have something to base it on.
But there's nothing.
You know, if these hearings and the ones with Kavanaugh and some of the others don't show to the American people what Democrats have become, I guess American people are as stupid as the Democrats think they are. If they can't see what kind of people we're dealing with, these are the lowlifes of our society today. And I hate to say that the Democratic Party has become that, a sanctuary for lowlifes. But that's what it is. I mean, you can't already argue against that. I don't see how you can deny that that's a reality.
But there have been multiple conversations about Roe versus Wade during these hearings. Dianne Feinstein, she brought up questions on it. I think there was a discussion with Senator Graham on the two cases. She says, I have no agenda to overrule Casey. And of course, when they kept asking about cases and scenarios, she says, look, I can't pre-commit to anything.
Right.
She says it has to go through the judicial process. It'll come to us. There'll be documents. She says, I can't give you predefined opinions on cases.
Even the leftist, Ginsburg, took that position when she was asked.
Yeah.
Took that exact same position, saying it's improper, it's a violation of judicial ethics for a potential Supreme Court nominee to say how they would vote on a particular case. We can't do that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't satisfy these animals on the left.
Well, she brought up a valid point. She says there has been unceasing calls to overturn Roe versus Wade since it was decided.
Right.
That has never stopped, unlike all these other cases. And let's just go over some comments about Roe versus Wade by other Supreme Court justices. Like Ruth Bader Ginsburg said it was badly decided. And she said, Roe versus Wade sparked public opposition and academic criticism, in part, I believe, because the court ventured too far in the change it ordered and presented an incomplete justification for its actions. You like to comment about Justice O'Connor. What was it that she said?
She said, well, Roe's on a collision course with itself, that it's unsustainable. And you can read a lot of scholarship by people on the left related to Roe versus Wade. And the more honest ones will tell you that the decision was badly decided, that the constitutional basis for it wasn't there.
Yeah, and it was Judge William Rehnquist who said, in the first place, the rigid Roe framework is hardly consistent with the notion of a constitution cast in general terms as ours is, and usually speaking in general principles as ours does. Clarence Thomas says, the court's expansive application of Roe in this period, even more than Roe itself, was fairly described as the unrestrained opposition of the court's own extra-constitutional value preferences on the American people.
Yeah. I mean, we can find hundreds of quotes like this.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not going over any more. I mean, there's tons of them.
But let's get into the understanding of Roe.
Yeah, because there was somebody the other day who on Instagram wanted to know how a supposed rape case all of a sudden turned into abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy, how that came about.
Well, first off, as we know now, it wasn't an alleged rape. That turned out there was no rape.
Yeah.
Norma McCorvey, who brought the case, mm-hmm. agreed that she was never raped.
Yeah.
She had a sexual relationship with a carnival worker that was traveling through Dallas, and the result was her pregnancy, and she was never raped.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the attorneys in that case, Linda Coffey and Sarah Weddington, they both knew mm-hmm. that there was no rape. And one of the questions I've always had is, why weren't they disbarred?
Yeah, because that's a fraudulent case.
Right. They've suborned perjury.
Mm-hmm.
When you bring a case based on false premise, a premise that not only is false, but that you know is false,
mm-hmm.
and you take it all the way to the Supreme Court and get a ruling like this that has so far resulted in the execution of over 60 million people,
mm-hmm.
why do you still have a law license? I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's make people understand that, first off, Roe versus Wade technically did not make abortion legal. What it did is it says states can't make it illegal. And there is a distinction there in the law. And you can prove that Roe was a political decision mm-hmm. with understanding of one fact. First off, if you read Roe versus Wade, there are restrictions placed in it.
Yeah.
Limits on when you can have abortions and so forth. And the reason that that was put in there was because at the time, it was well known by Blackmun and Thurgood Marshall and the rest of them that were radically pro-abortion. They understood the American people were not wanting for that. Attempts to legalize abortion had already failed in a lot of states,
mm-hmm.
Several states just the years or so before Roe. And what they were concerned about was if they issue a decision that just blanket makes abortion legal right up to the moment of birth, the American people will rise up against that
mm-hmm.
and there will be legislation passed that prevents it.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did is they put restrictions in Roe versus Wade
mm-hmm.
about viability and about some other issues that health were based on the health of the mother. They mm-hmm. said you cannot restrict abortion except in these cases and only then when there's a threat to the woman's health.
Mm-hmm.
But what they didn't do, which is very common in these types of legal decisions, they didn't put a definition in there of what health means.
Because health can be kind of ambiguous. Does that mean mental health? Does it mean physical health? When does that apply?
Yeah, so they purposely did not put a mm-hmm. definition of health in there.
Yeah.
Now, what a lot of people don't understand or don't realize, if you haven't studied this, is that on the same day that Roe was issued,
mm-hmm.
January 22nd, 1973, there was a second decision on abortion issued by the Supreme Court called Doe versus Bolton.
Yeah.
And it was on the abortion issue too. And in Doe versus Bolton, they included the definition of health.
Mm-hmm.
As I remembered, I used to know it by heart, but it's in the light of all factors, physical, emotional, psychological, familial, and the woman's age, relevant to the well-being of the patient, all of these factors may relate to health.
Which is a really broad definition of health.
I've often challenged people, tell me a circumstance under which a woman can be pregnant
mm-hmm.
that doesn't fit that definition of health.
Yeah.
So what they did was very clever. They put restrictions in Roe and made it look like a compromise decision because they knew that would be the decision that got all the attention.
Mm-hmm.
Then, within minutes, they issued Doe versus Bolton that takes out all the restrictions that they put in Roe versus Wade by using this broad definition of health.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like putting a bill before everybody on a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
And you say, well, how do you know they knew what they were doing? Because it's very simple. If they had taken the definition that they put in Doe versus Bolton and simply put it over into Roe versus Wade, they wouldn't have had to issue a ruling in Doe versus Bolton.
Mm-hmm.
Roe versus Wade would have accomplished what they wanted to accomplish, which means no restrictions at all. But had they done that, the public would have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But by burying the definition of health in Doe versus Bolton, they made sure that the only people who really paid attention to it, because the media wasn't going to, is lawyers, judges, legislators, people like that,
yeah.
who are making the laws and enforcing the laws. They would be the only people that would know this reality. So it was a scam that mm-hmm. the Supreme Court perpetrated on the American people.
Yeah.
And it followed right along with their basic reasoning. Their argument was that the constitutional right to privacy is broad enough to include abortion.
Mm-hmm.
The problem they have is the word abortion is not in the Constitution.
Neither is privacy.
Privacy is not in the Constitution.
No.
And privacy was found in a previous case called Griswold versus the state of Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
They said it's not delineated in the Constitution, a right to privacy.
Mm-hmm.
but it is contained in the Constitution in a penumbra of the Constitution. Now, if you look up the word penumbra, it means shadow.
Yeah.
So in other words, I hold up a Constitution right here, and they look at that, and they say, no, abortion and privacy are not in there. But if you look over here at the shadow that's being cast on this
table.
It's
the ripple effect.
It's there. It's yeah. over here in this.
It's implied in the ripple effect.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this whole thing was a scam. And it was perpetrated by Harry Blackmun, which I've said before, and I catch some flack even from some pro-life people. Harry Blackmun is the American equivalent, except he's much worse than Adolf Hitler. Harry Blackmun has killed far more people than Adolf Hitler even designed to kill mm-hmm. or intended to kill, much less did kill. Harry Blackmun was as pathologically evil a person mm-hmm. as ever lived. And if you read some of the stuff he wrote, part of his pursuit of legalizing abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy was brought on by a situation with his daughter in college when either she or one of her roommates got pregnant and couldn't have an abortion and quit school or something. So it was all driven by personal experiences, had nothing to do with the Constitution. They knew it was not constitutional.
Yeah. So it was putting the wants and needs of one above the many.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And he had some cohorts in that, like I said, Thurgood Marshall. Well, there was 9 men on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And
it was
7 men.
Funny. I saw somebody the other day said something along the lines of, old dying males shouldn't have an opinion on abortion. And it's like, Okay, well, then Roe versus Wade should be invalidated if that is your metric for who should have an opinion on abortion.
If that's your yardstick, okay,
let's go.
Let's go along with that. So we vacate, I think is the term in the law. Yeah. We vacate the Roe versus Wade decision because it was rendered by
nine old men
in black robes. And nobody cared that was the case. They are perfectly happy with that.
Yeah, there was not feminists out there with signs saying, hey, you old guys, no uterus, no opinion.
Right. Yeah, right. Keep your laws off my body.
You know, another problem with this deal about the privacy thing is anytime that cases come up about violation of consumer privacy, right, like selling of information, especially online, they're very quick to say, well, there's no definition of privacy.
Right.
So how can we say that abortion is included in privacy when people's personal information is not necessarily considered privacy? How can we make that jump?
Well, I saw somebody who did this. I can't remember who did it. Years ago, they looked at the makeup of the guys who wrote and ratified the U.S. Constitution, 88 of them or 89, whatever it was. And like 30 of them were preachers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what their job was when they weren't on the Constitutional Convention. Some others were theologians and some others were various
scholars.
Or, and it's when you listen to some of the things that those people said,
mm-hmm.
you really have to stretch your imagination to think that they thought that somewhere in that document that they wrote was a constitutional right to abortion.
I think even Clarence Thomas said something along those lines.
Yeah, it's lunacy to think that those guys believed that.
Mm-hmm.
And see, this is where the problem comes in with the godless left, like you're seeing here with these Democrats on this Judiciary Committee. When people say, like Amy Coney Barrett says, I am a originalist.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the text that's in the Constitution. That's the most important thing. What does the Constitution say? But also you need to look at these framers of the Constitution. What mm-hmm. did they mean? Can you honestly look at who these guys were? And then read the things that they wrote and conclude that they believed that there was a constitutional right to abortion.
No. And the Constitution repeatedly talks about the protections of life.
Right.
Abortion is a contradiction of that because that undermines a protection of life.
Yeah. We've done some shows recently talking about Roe and talking about the fact that simply overturning Roe
mm-hmm.
does not necessarily accomplish our objective. It depends on how it's overturned.
Yeah.
If it's overturned on the basis of the unborn being a person, then it's over.
Game over.
If it's overturned on the basis that it's a states' rights issue and that the Constitution is really silent on abortion, which, by the way, is what almost every legal scholar says, that when Roe is overturned, that will be the basis for it.
If that happens,
we're screwed.
We're battling abortion for years to come because California, New York, New Mexico, so a lot of these states that are very liberal and very supportive of abortion have enshrined or will enshrine basically Roe into their state's constitution.
They'll become cottage industries for abortion. And I've had people challenge me on this and say, well, you know, at least states like Texas and Alabama and maybe Louisiana and mm-hmm. Arkansas, Mississippi will protect their unborn children, so it'll save some lives. No, it won't.
Because we have an interstate road system. There is no blockading of the transportation between states.
Right.
A woman can freely go across state lines.
A woman gets pregnant in Texas. Mm-hmm. She can take her baby to California or New York or Colorado, be even closer. Colorado is the closest state to Texas that doesn't share a border with us. So she could go to Colorado and have her baby killed there. And so it goes back to what I said maybe on last week's show or maybe the one before. If we don't protect every baby in every state, then we don't protect any baby in any state.
Yeah.
So we have to have a pure 100% national protection of these babies. And even that is going to be fraught with problems. And I think in the next two or three shows, I've got some ideas that I came up with that I think we need to talk about vis-a-vis Roe versus Wade that mm-hmm. people aren't talking about. We're just looking at the big picture.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of little nuances within this idea of overturning Roe
mm-hmm.
that we need to be looking at. And so in the next few shows, I want to go into some of this stuff and let people understand what we're really dealing with here.
One of the things I want to talk about before we get out of the show here is one of the common things that we're hearing about is basically the conflict of rights of the woman versus rights of the unborn. You know, the pro-choicers love to bring up this parasite argument that it's a baby is using this woman's body without her consent. And so basically, her rights trump the rights of the unborn baby.
Well, that suggests then that this woman was just walking down the street and an unborn baby just leaped inside of her. And said,
or like some sort of parasite just happened to get in there via her food or bacteria.
It's nonsense.
Yeah.
But as far as the rights issue and a woman's rights versus the baby's rights, and you know, you hear this all the time, well, you favor the rights of the fetus over the rights of the woman. Let's straighten out this argument right now. Our argument is not that the rights of the baby supersede the rights of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Our argument is that they are equal.
Yeah.
That the unborn child, he or she, has an equal claim to life as the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And let's understand something. All rights are limited.
Oh, yeah.
Every right is limited. For example,
I have the right to freely practice religion. I do not have the right to go down the street, kidnap somebody, and sacrifice them on the altar to my God.
Right.
I don't have that right.
Right. Because their right to life, mm-hmm. not only are rights limited,
mm-hmm.
but they are relative to each other.
Yeah.
So a better example than yours of sacrificing.
I thought mine was pretty good, but
no,
go ahead.
No, it's not. But anyway, a better one than that would be, first off, let me ask you this. Do you have the right to own property?
Yes.
Right. Okay. You mm-hmm. have the right to own property.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you own a store.
Okay.
And somebody comes in there and shoplifts.
Yeah.
Do you have the right to shoot them?
No.
No, you don't. You might want to, knowing you, but
no.
You don't have the right to shoot them.
No.
Now, if the shoplifter is brandishing a weapon and pointing it at you,
that changes things.
Now it's not about shoplifting. It's about protecting your life.
Mm-hmm.
But if I say to you, this person's shoplifting from you, you shoot and kill this guy and you call the police and they get there and they say, what happened here? Well, he was
stealing a bag of Doritos.
He was shoplifting something out of my store.
Yeah.
And I shot and killed him. They're going to clamp the handcuffs on you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they do that, they're not suggesting that you don't have a right to own property.
Or that you don't have a right to defend your property.
Right. But what they're saying is, even that thief, that shoplifter's right to life
mm-hmm.
supersedes your right to own property.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the case of abortion, understand almost no cases
yeah.
of abortion we now know occur because the pregnancy threatens the woman's life.
Yeah.
In all other cases, it's the baby's life against the woman's right to X, whatever X might be.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way you can argue that whatever X is supersedes that baby's right to life.
Yes.
So it's
exactly the
same as the shoplifter. It's no different. You can't kill a shoplifter, somebody stealing a DVD out of your store,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You can't shoot and kill them out in the parking lot because they stole a DVD.
Yeah.
Well, what they're saying is that the woman's right to get a promotion at work
mm-hmm.
or the woman's right to, you know, we had a case years ago, and I know it sounds frivolous, but it was a real case, and it wound up in the courts because her boyfriend tried to prevent her from having an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
She was pregnant. It was the beginning of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
She said she did not want to go through the summer pregnant. And not only that, but she would look fat in a bathing suit. He tried to prevent the abortion. She even said on national television, I would be willing to get pregnant again and have another baby in the winter if he wouldn't raise a ruckus about me having this abortion at the beginning of the summer.
I don't put much chance in that.
Well, the courts rule in her favor.
I'm just saying, I don't think that he was like, you know what? that's fine.
Yeah,
that's, I abort my child now for the summer. We'll try again in the winter.
Kill that baby, and we'll just have
another. I'll be willing to have another child with you.
Right, we'll have another baby, not that one.
I don't think that.
But
that
anyway,
works out.
It wound up in the courts, and the courts ruled against him that he couldn't prevent the execution of his own child. And certainly, all abortions aren't frivolous like that. I mean, I'm not making that argument by any means.
No, but still.
But whatever the reason is,
yeah,
there is no reason that a woman can give for having an abortion that supersedes her baby's right to life.
Yeah.
So rights are relative. Mm-hmm. They're limited. Like you were saying, you have the right to free exercise of religion, mm-hmm. but you can't sacrifice somebody and say, I'm a whatever.
Well, it's part of my religion, and I have the freedom to practice.
You couldn't even sacrifice a dog
under
those circumstances. Mm-mm. The dog's right to life would supersede your right to religion in that situation. So that's the thing that Roe versus Wade threw out.
Yeah.
What we were saying here was that the woman's right to privacy, which is not in the Constitution, but this right that we manufactured,
supersedes the constitutional right to life.
The constitutional right to life of that baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why a lot of even scholars on the left, like Sandra Day O'Connor said, it's on a collision course with itself. And even the most radically pro-abortion, godless person to ever serve on the Supreme Court, this degenerate that just died that everybody's trying to canonize, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, mm-hmm. even she said the reasoning in it was flawed.
Yeah.
And that it was on tenuous ground. Her argument was that it should not have been done on privacy, but should have been done on equal protection of the law.
Yeah.
Which is still nonsense, but nonetheless, she's saying the logic in it was flawed.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to talk some more about Roe versus Wade and some aspects of it that people might not have thought about and some aspects of overturning it that pro-lifers may not have thought about. So in the next couple of shows, I want to get back to that.
Okay.
You got anything else?
I don't have anything else.
Me neither. Until next Thursday, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
Uh-uh, we're here to win.
Because winning is how the killing stops. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.